Good morning. It's great to be here with you this morning. Great to worship together. As we look at the world around us, sometimes when we see the things that are going on, when we recognize the pain that's in this world, maybe when we look to the news, we see what's going on and. Some days it just hits us. The days when we see another shooting. The days when we see more tragedy. The days when we see more pain. The days when we see the chaos that's in the world. And the days when our hope is in the life to come. And sometimes it gets us down, and sometimes we turn to Scripture, and we might go to places like Philippians, where it talks about, you know, joy in struggle, and just the things that are going on in this world that although these are going on, that we can just take heart. And you know, those truths are in Scripture, and those truths can speak into our lives, but sometimes we truly need to sit with the discomfort. We need to sit with the pain. We need to sit with the emotions. Sometimes we need to recognize that the things that we're going through, the things that are happening in life, are situations that we've been placed in, and times when we truly need to reflect on where God is in the midst of some of the hard times in life. And truly, we need to sit down and reflect on some of the good times in life. And I hope that as we walk through, as we begin this new study, we look at the book of Psalms. And we see that in the way the book of Psalms is designed, whatever you're going through in life, whether it's one of the days when you look at the beauty of God's creation and you see the marvelous week that we've had of beautiful weather, of the cool downs, of the corn getting taller, of the beans sprouting, of the tomatoes on the vine getting redder, and maybe it's in that time that you're sitting today, and the book of Psalms can sit with you there, and it can run with you there, and it can be joyful with you. But if you're sitting in a place today where things are seeming to go down, when life is seeming to get at you, when everything just seems chaotic, when everything seems crazy, when maybe it's one of those days when you're just discouraged, I want you to know that this collection of Psalms put together in Scripture identifies with you. It identifies with the times when we're doing great. It identifies with the times we're doing bad. It identifies with the times when we look at the world and see that God's power is reigning over all. It also identifies with the times when we look at the world and we see that things just aren't right. And so as we dig in and as we look into the first two Psalms, we see the foundation that is laid down at the beginning. And it points to the messages that will be true in the rest of this book. In this rest of this book, the book of songs and poems that bring out the message of the rest, they bring out the message of the rest of Scripture. Because you see, Psalms is a microcosm of the rest of God's Word. What Psalms does echoes throughout the rest of the Bible because it consistently points to Jesus. Psalms tells the emotional portrayal of each of us yearning to know and to need a Savior. It points to the brokenness and disaster of our lives and the world around us. It aches with our hearts. It rejoices with our triumphs. Psalms settles down with us in the midst of the darkest days, and it runs with us to the greenest of pastures. It understands the regrets and the sadness, but it gains perspective of joy from an understanding of where we are in relation to an almighty plan. That plan starts with a focus on who God is, and it moves to who God created us to be in relation to it, in relation to Him, and it reflects on what we are instead. And it ends with a recognition of what Jesus did and now who He's making us into. So as we journey through the book of Psalms, let's pray that God will open our hearts to receive and to understand the ways that He is remaking us into this world. And in this world, to continue the story that was started by God. A story that one day will lead us to a place where there's no more crying, no more sadness, no more pain, no more death. A place where we'll be beside still waters. Will you pray with me as we begin? God, we come to You this morning and we use this time not to open a book, but to open up Your words and open up our hearts to it. God, as the psalmists pour out their emotions, we see Your plan written down. As we today dig into Your word, into Scripture, and see that, God, You know our hearts. That, God, You sustain us and that You bring us up even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But, God, also, You are the one who leads us beside quiet waters. And, God, because You are with us, there's nothing to fear. God, You fill us up. God, You bring us to a place where we can overflow with Your joy. Lord, we love You. God, we praise You. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night. Psalm 1 starts out, and from the first two verses in the book of Psalms, we see that we have a choice. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the Lord. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord and meditates on His law day and night. This choice that we have is the same choice presented to Adam and Eve in the beginning. It's the same choice given to the Israelites at the base of Mount Sinai. It's the same choice given to each of the judges. The same choice given to the community before the prophet Samuel. The same choice given to each of the kings. The same choice given to all the leaders during the exile. The same choice given to Jesus in the wilderness. The same choice given to the hearts of every man and woman since. It's the choice to be resting in the Word. To be resting in the Word of God. It's the choice that we have to submit ourselves to one of two things. We can choose in this life to submit ourselves to the lies of this world that claims that we can take control and we can seize autonomy over to this world. In other words, we can walk with the wicked, we can stand with the sinners, we can sit in the company of mockers, or we have the choice to take another path. We have a new choice. We have a choice to give ourselves over to the rule and reign of our Creator God. The one who has given us a way to be in relationship with Him. We can meditate on His law day and night. The author of this psalm points to the people that to remember back to a commitment made that God's way would be the way for them. You see, God had proven himself to be creator and to be the God over all creation, over all the cosmos, over all powers and authorities, over nature, over time, over culture, over famine, over chaos, over uncertainty, over fears, over sorrow, over future, over celebration, over joy. Over all was God. And God gave mankind the opportunity to be in relationship with him. To sit with him. To rest with him. He had given Adam and Eve the choice to say, walk with me. Trust me. We can go together. We can manage this world that I've created, that I've given. We can build this up together. He gave the Israelites a choice at Mount Sinai. He says, I will be your God. You will be my people. We can have relationship. He gave an opportunity to his people. He said, these are the things that you need to do, and my presence will be with you. In your tent, in your tabernacle, in your temple, do these things, and I will be with you. I will be in your midst. You can communicate with me. He gave his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus died and was hung on a cross, punished for the sins that we had committed. God rips the curtain that divided his presence from people, and he says, now you can be in relationship with me through my son, Jesus Christ. We can have this opportunity to walk together. We can have this opportunity to be together. We can have this opportunity that's going to lead to eternal life together. We have this option to stand, to meditate on his law day and night, to be in relationship with him because of what God has done. He calls us back in a very real way to a true relationship like that experienced in the Garden of Eden. Because as every man has a choice, we all have the opportunity to go back to the garden. Central to the description of the garden back in Genesis chapter 2, some of the images that were brought up, some of the things that were really focused on in Genesis chapter 2, trees bearing fruit, water running through, land that does not contain death, but instead everything prospers because of what's provided. All of this signifying and bringing up this connection that God was there. Now look at the verse in the first psalm. Look what we're invited to. It says that those who choose to meditate on his law day and night, those whose delight is in the law of the Lord, it says that person is like a tree. It's like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. It's this calling back to go to that place of a true relationship with God. It's what we're being called to. It's what we're being given. It's the opportunity that we each have. To go back into that relationship. To be back with our God. It's this life. It's the life that in the book, in the 23rd Psalm, the one that's so familiar, it points to. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We come back to a relationship with God. And it is good. It's the life that Christ promises when he says to the woman at the well in John 4:14, it says, "Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." This is the life, this is the joy, this is the opportunity that God gives us to come and to be in relationship with him. And this is the thing that we see throughout the book of Psalms. Whenever we see the joy, whenever we see the goodness, whenever we see the trust in God, it all centers around this life that's in relationship to him. And I don't know about you, but I notice so often in my life, when there are days when I begin to cut myself off from that stream of living water, when I begin to cut out the time that's spent meditating on God's word, it's in those days that the valleys seem darker. It's in those days that the chaos seems more rampant. It's in those days where the rest isn't there. But on the days when I choose to sit in God's word, and choose to focus on his love, on his promise, on the righteousness that he calls us to, it's on those days that things begin to turn, that things begin to go right. And here's the deal. One thing I want to make clear. It's not follow God, get prosperity. It's not follow God and everything's going to be cheery all the time. It's not a genie in the bottle where you get to come to God's word and you get to rub it and you get three wishes. That's not the deal. But in life, it seems to go that way. When you're sitting in God's word, that it's not the situations in life that come up that are any different. But it's the relationship back with God that you can trust in. The first psalm finishes by saying that the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. I would love to stop there, but Psalm doesn't. It says, "But the way of the wicked leads to destruction." You know, it brings us back to the choice that's there. It brings us back to the reality that in this world, we will have trouble. We can take heart, for Jesus has overcome the world. But in this world, we will have trouble. In our lives, we have made the same choice as Adam and Eve. The fact is that people aren't perfect. And if you need any evidence of that, just look right up here. Because as we go, as we make decisions, oftentimes If your life is anything like mine, we make decisions that do not honor God, that do not follow in his ways, that do not trust in him, that do not meditate on his law or delight in his righteousness. And so we begin to stumble and we begin to fall away. And the book of Psalms sits with us there, and God's word sits with us there. And the amazing thing, one of the things that we talked about today in Sunday school is God actually reaches down to us there. In the days when we rebel, when we make the choices that turn away from God, God continues to remain faithful to us, even when we remain unfaithful to him. But it tells us that very plainly, the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And the verses directly prior, in contrast to the life-giving water of being in relationship with God, it says it is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff in the wind, that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. There's a reality that when Adam and Eve were faced with the choice in the garden, that they chose to seize autonomy for themselves. They chose to buy into the lies of the world like each of us have done in our own lives. With that choice, sin entered into the world, and just as because of our choice to participate in sin, evil has come into our lives. So we stand on this precipice, staring down the choice that we have to participate in sin, that evil has come into our lives, or to see the wages of sin, that is death, or to turn knowing that we need a Savior, needing a rescuer, needing a Messiah, needing a liberator, needing God to intervene in our lives. We stand with that choice and that recognition that those are the ways. Guess what? There enters Jesus. There enters Jesus. When we're standing there looking and knowing that if these are the two ways to go, looking at our lives, we know which way we've taken so often. We need a Savior, and there enters Jesus. In Psalm 2, we're introduced to a character. This character comes in at an interesting time. At a time as nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain, as the kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together, we see it's against the Lord and against this new and interesting character. It's against one that is called the Lord's anointed. This anointed is used, this word from which we derive Messiah, the word Christ. The one in heaven who is not intimidated by this world, the one who reigns on high, the one who God says, "You are my son, today I have become your father." Looks with the rest of the Psalms and the rest of Scripture to the one who would come, to the one who would be our refuge, to the one who would be our shield, to the one who would bring mercy, to the one who is righteous, to the one who saves through unfailing love, to the one who is our portion, to the one who will never be shaken, to the one who is our rock and our fortress, to the one who is faithful, to the one who lifts up the humble and the brokenhearted, to the one whose name the skies proclaim, to the one who's clean, with clean hands and a pure heart, to the one who is the light, to the one who will show the wonders of his love, to the one who covers all sins, to the one who will bring an inheritance that lasts forever, to the one that lives. If that one sounds familiar, if those references through the first 42 Psalms sound at all familiar, it's because the one has come. The wait is over, and his name is Jesus. He is here. He has come. This has been fulfilled. As Psalm looks to Scripture, we have the opportunity to look on the other side of the cross back to Psalms. And we get to see that time and time again, as the people of God are waiting and are hoping and are just pleading with God, that this man would come. we can look back and we can see that Jesus has come, that we have the opportunity to be in relationship with him. And that's the thing that brings us beside still waters. That's the thing that brings us to the hope that we have. For each of those hopes presented in the book of Psalms, there is one that fulfills each. We read these Psalms and we see that for hundreds of years, with only a shot at a relationship with God, people who were bound by the law realized that they could not live up to it. For hundreds of years, they looked and they saw that when their relationship with God was based on their own righteousness, they kept on failing, so they kept on hoping for the one that was come. For hundreds of years, they waited. But now, when people's righteousness failed, a God who gives an opportunity for a relationship entered in. We can see now that this is the relationship that was pointed to, the relationship that David and the rest of the psalmists look forward to. The dream that begins and brings us beside quiet waters. It's not found in our finances. It's not found in our achievement or our statuses or in our own righteousness. It's found in Jesus Christ. And we come today not looking for an introduction on how to better our lives, but an introduction to Jesus, our Messiah. And when we enter in, we look forward to not the great things that could come in this life. We look forward not to the satisfaction of going to people and saying, "Hey, you're wrong and I'm right." We come into it not thinking that we have the answers and none other do. Come in looking forward to heaven because of the Savior that we have. Because we have a God that looked down and loved us, who created us to be in a relationship with him. And throughout the chaos of this world, there's only one thing that stands. A rock that's never shaken. Foundation that never falters. Savior that the grave could not hold. We have the opportunity to be in relationship with Jesus. And I'm not going to promise you that the situation around you is going to improve, but I can promise you that there will be a day when Jesus Christ calls us home, that we can stand beside still waters saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And that is where we can rest in relationship with him. Will you pray with me? God, as we come to you and we recognize that in this world there will be things that happen. There will be times when life is going crazy, when things don't make sense. But God, we know that when we rest in you, we can have peace. When our hope is built on Jesus Christ, we can have assurance that the things in this world cannot stand against. God, when we meditate on who you are, on your word, as we enter back into a relationship with you, we know that you give life. That you give life that never spoils, never fades. God, we pray that we will take a place, God, in our attitude and our heart, to turn to you, to trust in you, to allow you to lead us. It's in that hope that we rest. In your name, amen.